بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فالحمد لله today is the 16th of July in the year 2006 and once again we are on the inexhaustible subject of the greatness of our magnificent Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's look for the believers is immense. For instance, in Surah Baqarah, Surah 2, verse 257, the Almighty and Glorious says, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the wali, i.e. is the friend of those who believe. It would have been suitable to say the opposite. Those who believe are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And naturally, it is man who befriends Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by declaring the shahada and becoming a Muslim. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala befriends the believers himself. Subhanallah. So look at the subtle hint there towards how much our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the believers. It mentions in Surah Baqarah verse 257, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the wali of those who believe. The scholars have said those who believe are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That would have been more appropriate. Well, the very fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he is the wali of those who believe shows his love for the belief. In another holy verse, the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala had stated in Surah Maidah, Surah 5 verse 54, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love them and they will love him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Note yet again how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first ascribes the attribute of loving to himself and then mentions the love of the believers. If you look at the verse, the Almighty says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love them and they will love him. He mentions his love first, hinting again towards how much he loves subhanahu wa ta'ala the believers. Another proof in the glorious Quran with regards to our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala's incredible love for the believers is the following. In Surah Tawbah, Surah 9 verse 111, the Almighty and Glorious subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purchased from the believers their souls and wealth in exchange for paradise. The scholars point out a buyer's insistence on purchasing an item despite his awareness of his defects implies that the item, i.e. the believer, is desirable irrespective of its faults. Our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala created humanity and is well aware of its faults and defects. So if you look at this holy verse, the Almighty says subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has purchased from the believers their souls and wealth in exchange for paradise. But man is weak. So why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing a transaction with something that's worthless to him? Right? So again, this shows his love for the believer. For instance, with regards to mankind, he subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that man is weak. Surah 4 verse 28. He is hasty, he is quick. Surah 17 verse 11. He is impatient. Surah 70 verse 19. He is stingy. Surah 70 verse 21. And he is irritable. Surah 70 verse 20. Yet despite all these failings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still chose to purchase him in exchange for paradise. Another clear indication of the intense love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for the believers. So what's fascinating about this, this is only the Quran. We have just mentioned in the Quran there, but it's very easily missed these subtle points. Another proof of the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala's immense love for the believers is as the renowned saint Bayazid Bustami rahmatullah alayhi has said, I with what we have to offer back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in thanks. He stated, love is to find trifling that which is given from oneself, I to the beloved, even though it is great, and to find great that which is received from one's beloved, even if it is minuscule. So look at this incredible statement from this blessed man, rahmatullah alayhi. What he was saying was, this is true love. When the one that you love gives you something even very small, something very paltry, you would think that to be too great. This is a sign of love. But then he says, similarly, another sign of love is that even if you offer everything to him, you would still consider that to be nothing. Right? So look how this blessed man, rahmatullah alayhi, was explaining how our intention should be towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi mentioned the three categories of believers. One of the saints rahmatullah alayhi, his name escapes me, he mentioned that he says, I would feel ashamed if I only did a deed for reward, because this would be like a person working for an employer only because he wants the wage. And then he says, I would also feel ashamed to work for the as for fear of threat of punishment, just like a person works because he fears that he will be fired. He then says, but it takes a true person to work for somebody only for his pleasure. And what he was trying to say was, the highest level of Iman, like Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi mentioned, is to do things for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, we don't belittle things. For instance, when the Messenger of Allah mentioned the reward for Allah alayhi wa sallam, and he mentioned the various punishments, but he referred it to the levels of Iman. Despite all this, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows so many blessings upon his servants that it is impossible to count. For instance, in Surah 14 verse 34, the Almighty and Glorious says, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, if you try to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be unable to enumerate them. So in other words, if you try to list them, you would not be able to reach the end of the list. This is how much blessings the Almighty and Glorious has given us. Nevertheless, despite these innumerable blessings, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the material world as minimum. In Surah Nisa, Surah 4 verse 77, the Almighty and Glorious says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, say, the goods of the material world are but trifles. In other words, whatever you amass on the earth is nothing as compared to the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala devalued his gift of unlimited blessings to a trifle. Yet when his servants remember their Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes their limited remembrance as abundant. In Surah 33 verse 35, the Almighty and Glorious says, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, and those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. So look at the subtle things in the Quran that the scholars detect. So again, all his blessings are but a trifle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls that a trifle. And yet when you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives you the title of doing it in abundance. Yet another of the many proofs from the holy book itself, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has an intense love for the believer. Therefore, should this love not be reciprocal? As the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in Surah Baqarah, Surah 2 verse 165, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, and those who believe have an intense love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Sahih, in the Sahih, he who has these three qualities tastes the sweetness of Iman. He loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam above anything. He hates to return to unbelief more than being thrown into the fire. And he wishes for others what he wishes for his brothers what he wishes for himself. The first thing that the Messenger of Allah mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Messenger more than anybody. An example of the blessings that probably you wouldn't have reflected upon. In a hadith in Tabarani, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, this is the meaning of the hadith, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a hadith Qudsi, I have made certain of my servants healthy. If I was to take away their health, they would lose their iman. I have made certain of my servants ill. If I were to give them health, they would lose their iman. I have made certain of my servants wealthy. If I were to take away their wealth, they would lose their iman. And I have made certain of my servants poor. If I were to give them wealth, they would lose their iman. Subhanallah. Right? So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is His kindness, His loving kindness to the believers. But again, you need to be aware of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another example of the incredible blessings that probably you won't have reflected upon. In a hadith in Ibn Asakir, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that there are certain blessings, the wording and the meaning of the hadith, you should thank your Lord for the hidden blessings. And then he mentioned three sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a germ in wheat or in foodstuff which causes it to decay. Otherwise the rich would tyrannize the poor. In other words, if the food did not go bad, they would not then reduce the prices. This is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes the dead body decay. For if it did not, you would stop burying your dead. This is another blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, He takes away the grief from a person's heart, i.e. upon losing a beloved one, otherwise he himself would die from the grief. So again, going back to that verse, you can never count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, we thank Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for each and every one of His innumerable blessings. Another proof, this time from the Blessed Sunnah, of the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala's intense love and compassion for the believers is the following. In Tirmidhi, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu relates that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said, Hadithi Qudsi, I subhanahu wa ta'ala feel shy to turn down my servant's palms when they are outstretched before me. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angels alayhi salam thereupon respond, O Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, this sinful man does not deserve your absolution. In other words, he's praying for your forgiveness, but he's sinning so much, he doesn't deserve to be forgiven. At this, the Almighty and Glorious subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Am I subhanahu wa ta'ala not the owner of all piety and mercy? Bear witness that I have forgiven him. So even the angels, we know how merciful they are to the believers, but they have a termination point. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even tells the angels of, he goes, I still feel ashamed, despite the fact of his sins, that once he's raised his palms to me, I have to give him. And what's interesting is some angels and brothers say, raising your hands is bitter, as if shaitan put life to their hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ashamed to give you something when you raise your hand. And this Buddha is saying, you shouldn't raise your hand. In another similar narration, our majestic Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to the angels in Tirmidhi and Hakim, Do I subhanahu wa ta'ala not have the power and grace to forgive him? And again, all praise is indeed for Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A servant should of course feel utterly ashamed when sinning. However, he should nevertheless be ever hopeful of the mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the importance. You must feel grief when you sin, but that should not take away your hope of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we know? In Ibn Jarir al-Tafsir, it's Hassan. Hazrat Bara' ibn Azib radiallahu anhu, he once recited this holy verse. Surah Baqarah, Surah 2 verse 195. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم And do not throw yourselves into destruction. So the great Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu clarified this holy verse. This means a man who commits a sin and then throws himself into destruction back to my mother. Would she then place me in paradise or hell? The old man answered, paradise of course. The young man then commented, then you should know that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful with me than my mother. With these words he breathed his last. As Abu Umama radiallahu anhu resumed, I participated in interring him, where to my astonishment I found his tomb as large and beaming as the sight could see. In other words, his forgiveness was secured. So look what he said. Obviously the uncle may be out of anger. He goes, look, now that repentance is coming, what point is repenting now? So look what he said. He made the obvious statement. Because if I go back to my mother, I'm sure my mother would forgive me. And I know for certain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far greater than my mother. And the uncle had to say, yeah, you're right. And then he was forgiven. One should be extremely weary of making others despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is very important narration. In Qurtubi, in his Tadkhira, page 176, it's sahih. It has been reported from the Salaf, not from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man from the previous ummah, he used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so rigidly that he disappointed people from having the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an incredible situation. You've got a person, instead of people looking and thinking, you know, hoping, yeah, inshallah, you've got hope. They saw his worship and they thought, we've blown it. When he died, the man asked, who did all that worship, oh my Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do I now have with you after all my exertions? Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala angrily said, hell. He then exclaimed in anguish, what about my worship? What about my constancy? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, they have come to nothing, for you caused people to be disappointed from my mercy, and now verily I am going to disappoint you of my mercy. Take him to hell. So now, what did this man do wrong? To worship, obviously you shouldn't increase in your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you should never ever have pride over that. The man had pride over his worship, so he was looking down on others. You understand? So he was doing his worship and he was thinking, he's at it. He's at it. Right? So that mentality he had. So when people thought, well, he must have had it because he is so solid. Well, look what he did. He caused the people to despair. Look at the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did he ever make anybody despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Never. Right? Did the Sahaba radiyallahu anhu ever do this? Never. Another report. In Tabarani, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith, again the meaning of the hadith, there was a pious servant and there was a sinner. The pious servant said to the sinner, keep away from sin, keep away from sin. He would say, yes, I will try my best. So one fateful day, the pious servant saw the sinner doing a sin that he couldn't believe he was doing it. So look what the pious servant said. He goes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forgive you. Revelation came to one of the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, and that prophet was told, alayhi salatu wasalam, to go to that pious servant and tell that pious servant that all his deeds have been lost. Tell him to start fresh. In other words, all that ibadah he did has been wiped out because of that one statement he made. In other words, he must start all over again. So this narration confirms the statement of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because sometimes a person says a word which he doesn't realize how pleasing it is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it ends in open paradise. And sometimes he says a word, he doesn't realize he's gone into the lowest of the hellfires because of it. And look what he said. He only said to that man, you will not be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He blatantly said subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's in Tabarani. In Sahih Muslim, similar incident took place. But in this before, in Sahih Muslim, they both died. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the sinner, go to paradise. He goes to the saint, can you make my servants despair of my mercy? In other words, he's doomed, take him away. So again, be very weary of this. Hence, be aware, O servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the Almighty and Glorious always comes to the aid of those who believe, either in this world or the next. An example, in Tabarani and Hasan, Hazrat Abu Umama radiallahu anhu reports that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, if a man borrows some wealth but then does not intend to pay it back and he dies, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask whether he thought that he subhanahu wa ta'ala would not realize the dues of his servant. His virtues will then be transferred to the lender. However, if it so happens that he is without virtues, then the sins of the lender will be transferred to the borrower. So look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. He will say to that man, did you honestly believe that you're going to get away with it? That you're going to deceive one of my servants and I'm not going to come to his rescue? So before he even finishes you, he will say that to you. Look at that, that's what it boils down to. You think you can deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he will either take all your deeds, give it to the lender, or vice versa, all your sins are fallen to you. Such is the unparalleled mercy of our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he also forgives our sins when we feel any sort of grief or sorrow. In Bukhari and Muslim in their Sahih, Hazrat Abu Sa'id al-Khudri r.a. reports that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, no fatigue, no disease, no sorrow, no sadness, no hurt, no distress befalls a Muslim, even if it were the prick he receives from a thorn, whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expiates some of his sins due to it. SubhanAllah. So look at how many things the Messenger of Allah mentions in Allah. He mentioned tiredness, when you feel tired, fatigue, when you're ill, when you grieve, when you're sorrow, when you're hurt. He goes, all this takes away your sins. And again, this is why, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to forgive. He's making excuses for you. In Tabarani and Ma'rif al-Ahadith, volume 4, page 69 of the Old English translation, Al-Abdullah ibn Abbas, radi Allahu anhu, reports that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, whoever is faced with an economic or physical distress and then does not reveal it to anyone or give utterance to his grief or discontent before the people, then it is due from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he forgives him. SubhanAllah. In other words, you're financially in trouble now. You need help, in other words. But you don't give even an inch to anybody. You just rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you. An example of this is when one patiently bears the loss of a beloved. In Nasai, Shaykh al-Bayyin rahmatullah alayhi said, Hasan, in his Ahkam al-Jara'is, page 34, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr, radiyallahu anhu, reports that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away from his believing servant, his beloved one of the people of the earth, if he then displays, now there's two things, if he then displays patience and ihtisab, that means looking forward to the rewards with regards to the calamity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not then accept any reward for him less than paradise. SubhanAllah. He goes, he won't even give you any, because I have to give him paradise now. There's nothing else I can give him because of what he's just gone through. But there's two things. One is the patience. In other words, one of your family members passes away, so you show patience. But then you must have this other intention as well. I'm looking forward to that reward because of the calamity. These two things, ihtisab. And he goes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his authentic hadith, he goes, I will give him paradise because of this. And look how comforting that is. If somebody loses their father, their mother, their son, just mention that to them. Say, look, I'm not telling you this because my words might mean nothing to you. But this is what the Messenger of Allah said to Allah alayhi wa sallam in an authentic hadith. If you show patience now, and you show ihtisab, you look forward to the reward because of the calamity, paradise is your right. This is what the Messenger of Allah said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a beautiful dua, in Nasa'i is Hasan, أَنْتَكَ مَا أَثْنَيْتَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِكَ. I cannot praise you even if I strive hard enough. أَنْتَكَ مَا أَثْنَيْتَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِكَ. Who's saying this? The greatest worshipper ever. I cannot duly praise you even if I strived enough. In other words, we can't praise you enough for the great blessings that you've given us. and the great kindness and all everything else that you've given us, because we cannot thank you enough. And that's what the Messenger of Allah told us to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How true were the wise man's words when he said in Ibn Rajab rahmatullah alayh, in his Sharh Hadith Ma Ziban Ja'i'an, page 51 of the English translation. Look what he said. In accordance with your fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creation will then feed you. In accordance with your love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creation will love you. And in accordance with your preoccupation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creation will be occupied in carrying out that which you are preoccupied from, i.e. the world. Subhanallah, look at the deep statement this blessed man rahmatullah alayhi made. Because the more you'll fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more the creation fears you. Look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Everybody feared them. The kuffar scared to death. Why? Because they feared their Lord the most, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more people will love you amongst the believers, obviously. This love is given into their hearts. And the more you're occupied with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words, get nearer to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He made the creation occupied with your will. He sorts things out for you because you're occupied with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If this was not enough, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had also taught us a dua to say at the times of concern and distress in Tirmidhi. As Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reports, when something caused the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam much concern, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would raise his head to the sky and he would look to the sky and he would say, Subhanallah al-Azim, glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the incomparably great. And when he exerted himself in supplication, in dua, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, all the living, all the self-existing. Simple du'as, beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. Alhamdulillah. So is there any questions on that? So all we discussed today was again the inexhaustible subject of the greatness of our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are there any questions you want to ask to that? سبحان الله بحمده سبحان اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الا الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم